Good evening, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 32 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing listening to podcasts, we'll also have some command line love, and go over your feedback. I'm Alan, and joining me this week is Mark.
Hello.
And Laura.
Hello.
And Martin.
Hola.
How are you all doing?
Very well.
Not bad. Jolly good, tip top, thank you.
Good. Mark, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
I've been using Kodi properly.
What were you doing it before? Doing it underwater or something?
Kodi is formerly XBMC Media Center.
How long after it's changed name to Kodi do we have to keep saying that?
I don't know.
Oh, I forget.
Because Laura just asked, so I said.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, basically, I had a really rubbish theme before, which had some various problems with it, and didn't seem to have the options for indexing all your media. So I've now switched to a new theme, and worked out that there's all these cool features which let you have these cool visualizations of the media you've got in your library. And yeah, it's really nice. I've been using that.
That sounds like something that should be written in a blog post, because I don't think I use Kodi properly, and I would like to use it properly. So you should write that.
Maybe I should do that.
Thank you. Martin, what have you been up to?
Well, I am now a bespectacled gentleman.
You too.
Yes. Apparently the reason why I was having such difficulty reading is because I couldn't see anything. So that's been fixed. So yes, I now the proud owner of two pairs of glasses, one especially magnified for reading, because now my daughter's getting a bit older. I'm actually struggling reading the print on her books. Oh, that's where I started to realise that's a problem.
Are your arms not long enough to hold them far away enough that you can still see them?
Short enough, actually. It's right. You know, when your nose is touching the paper, you realise you've got a problem. I've pre-ordered a Moto X style Android phone, so hopefully that'll be arriving sometime soon. So that's going to replace my Nexus 6. And I've been giving some upgrades to the Ubuntu podcast battle bus that we're going to be conducting our road trip in. And
where are we
Laura
going?
We're going to Liverpool to Og Camp, because it's Ogtober.
Of course.
And, yes, that's the only reason we're going.
What about Laura? What
Laura will be pleased to hear that I've removed all of the dead food from the car.
You replaced it with live food?
Well, this was an admission of Laura's last week when we were at a conference, and she told me about dead food, and she looked quite squeamish at the prospect.
What is dead food?
Crumbs
Exactly what you think it is.
Crumbs. Yeah. You're scared of crumbs.
I'm not scared of crumbs. I'm not squeamish about many things, but one thing I am
Your face looks scared.
What I call dead food, which is basically stuff that most of the children have dropped, but adults can drop too.
The fact that we're sharing a house at Og Camp, you've admitted this the weekend. I know.
I've already got, you know, bin liners of crushed digestive biscuits.
Open your door to find a pizza in your doorway.
No, you can't do that because we'll lose our deposit.
Can we trap Laura in a corner by like sprinkling a little circle of digestive biscuits?
Like on Supernatural with the salt.
Slices of toast rubbed together over the duvet, that sort of thing.
No regrets.
I will cry.
Laura, what have you been up to?
So when I revealed this, we were at DevRelCon, Matt Revell's developer relations conference in London, and I did a presentation.
You did.
Which I think went okay.
You did, and it was good.
Despite being quite scared.
It was excellent. Really good.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. It was a terrific event, and you were a fantastic speaker.
Thank you. It was a very good event.
I didn't see it, but I'll take their word for it.
Oh, thanks. There will be video. But yeah, it was a very, very good event. It was, I think they billed it as the first developer relations event in Europe. And it was really good. It had a really good turnout of people from all over the place, from all different companies, different size companies. And the talks were all really good.
I learned loads.
Yeah.
I learned loads.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was a terrific, terrific event. Matt should be very pleased with himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
I went as well. I wrote up some notes on my blog, so if you go to popey.com/blog, you'll find some notes. But it's mostly for most of it probably doesn't make sense, but I'll link to the videos when they go online.
Yeah.
And what have you been up to apart from DevRelCon?
Claire's laptop broke. It's a MacBook Pro, and I've been trying to upgrade it to El Capitan, which is the stupid code name for the latest version of OS X. And the thing that I've learned this week is that OS X upgrades are, if you think Linux upgrades, Ubuntu upgrades are bad, OS X upgrades are so bad, so bad, so bad.
In what way?
Well, this if I did the upgrade and it crashed out partway through. So I then had to boot into recovery mode and try the upgrade from there, and it crashed out halfway through. I then had to create a USB stick and boot off of that, and it crashes out halfway through. And all the error messages point to something not being downloaded right or something not being unpacked right. But all the suggestions online are you need to take out the RAM that you've got in there and put back in the RAM that Apple supplied with the laptop. And I'm like, no, I'm going to throw this laptop away. I'm just getting so annoyed with it. I've tried like 20 times to upgrade it, and it's just impossible. And I hate it. And that's enough. Let's go on with the show. Goodbye.
Right, I'm down to introduce this segment. So, we've decided that we talk about ourselves too much, and maybe people listen to us too much. So we'd like to talk about some other things which you might want to listen to instead of listening to us. Or maybe just some things that we enjoy listening to when we're not talking.
Listen How's to that? In addition to us.
Yeah.
In addition to...
I'm listening to someone else right now, Mark.
So, we're not only podcasters ourselves, we also listen to podcasts and enjoy them. Most of us. We'll get onto that in a minute. We just thought we'd talk about some of the podcasts that we enjoy and what we enjoy about them. Martin has a list as long as your arm, by the looks of it. So let's start with Alan, because he's at the top of the notes. Alan, what do you listen to?
I recently... following on from my previous conversation about broken Apple hardware, I've got an old iPad 1 that's sat on my desk, and I just use it for listening to podcasts because it's got quite good audio, and it can play video as well. So if I want to watch video podcasts, I can do it, and it won't interrupt any of my work because it's a separate screen. And so a few that I've been watching and listening, one's called The Talk Show, which is run by a guy called John Gruber, whose website is... Blazing something. What's it called? Loads of people are shouting.
Fireballs.
Yeah, that's it. Something Fireball. Loads of people are shouting at the screen right now, or their iPod or whatever.
Daring Fireball?
Daring Fireball. That's the
Daring
one.
Daring Fireball.
Oh, he's the Markdown.
Yeah, that's John Gruber. Right, so it's a really nice show, and it's quite good fun, and they've got some interesting guests on there, and it's worth listening to. It's quite long, but it's worth listening to, and so listen to that. The other one was Accidental Tech Podcast, ATP, which I only discovered through The Talk Show because one of the guests was the guy who made the ad blocker for iOS in the latest episode that we mentioned last week. And so this guy runs a podcast called Accidental Tech Podcast. Now, that both of those are quite... Apple related. So if you don't like Apple related news or iOS related news or anything like that, I like listening into what's going on over there. So that was good. A couple of short video ones, Minute Earth and Minute Physics. I used to watch those on YouTube, subscribe to them on YouTube, but actually I quite like having them as podcasts because then I don't have to have a stupid flash player in a browser or anything like that. I can just have them sat on that tablet and I don't have to care. Adam Buxton, who used to be on Six Music and used to have the Adam and Joe show and lots of other things. I quite like him, and he's got a new podcast. He's only done three episodes and they're variable quality so far. But I've just started listening to him. There's only three of them.
Should get him in to explain his production technique then, because it's not like our shows are variable in quality at all, is it?
Given how many years experience he has in TV and radio, maybe we should get him in to tell us how to do it. Those are really the only ones I'm listening to at the moment, plus a bunch that I know Martin's going to mention, so I'll defer those to him. Go for it, Martin.
Right, okay. Well, my podcast listening is a steady diet of Linux and open source related podcasts. Some more so than others, but alphabetically, Bad Voltage. I think most people probably have heard of that or listened to it.
I've heard of it.
Do any of you? I've heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't actually listen to it.
I've
listened to like two of them.
Right.
I think I've listened to one.
Okay. I listen to it regularly.
Yeah,
it's very enjoyable.
It's a very entertaining listen. Yeah, and it has some
odd moments.
But... Yeah, it does have odd moments. It's not all Linux. It's technology, politics, and random stuff. But it's a really entertaining listen, and it's very well produced. So, John Owen Ack are on that, and also Brian Lunduke and Jeremy Garcia. I listen to Floss Weekly. And sometimes Dan Lynch co-hosts on that. Do any of you listen to Floss Weekly?
Not for about 5 years, no.
Nope.
Okay, so each week or each episode, it's a one-hour episode and it covers a particular open source project. Some weeks I don't listen to the projects if I know a lot about it or it's not something that's of interest to me, but that's a really useful podcast. There's been some really good interviews on that over the time, and I've learned a lot from it.
I think the thing that's put me off Floss Weekly was, like, years ago, the guy who presents it, what's his name, Randall
Schwartz,
yeah, went on a rant about how terrible Linux is, and I was like, yeah, all right, screw that guy.
Yeah. he's not a big Linux user. He uses a Mac himself, but he's well known within the Perl community.
Yes,
that's his thing. I listened to Going Linux. Do any of you listen to Going Linux?
Once or twice, some years ago.
Yeah, so
I sent them a rant email once, if that counts.
Oh, right.
About
okay.
What about?
Yeah.
About Linux upgrades. They said you should never do upgrades, you should just clean install. And I was like, no, you idiots!
That's probably because Larry is predominantly a Linux Mint user.
Right, yeah. This was a few years ago.
Yeah. But Larry Bushy and Bill do that, and Larry Bushy is a very effective communicator, and he's really sort of focusing on helping people that are new to Linux or wanting to learn Linux and get started, and it's focused to getting those people orientated, and they've got very good sections where people write in with quite complicated questions, and they provide very detailed answers to that, and I find that very interesting. People who are new to Linux or wanting to find their way with Linux, I find some of the topics they discuss and some of their solutions useful for things to integrate into that project I shan't name. But Larry's also been helpful. He's also written some content for the project I shall not name. He's done some copy for the website and also for one of the utilities as well. Next up, I've got the Joe Rest podcast, which I think might be going on a bit of a hiatus because Joe's on lots of podcasts now. Yeah. And that's basically Joe and Isaac Carter having a bit of a chat. And they've had some really interesting episodes. Most recently, Ben Emlyn Jones, something like that, who's a real conspiracy theorist. And that was two episodes that they spoke to him for.
That's the bit I can't cope with, is that whole conspiracy nut job thing. I can't cope. I listened to like the first five episodes on the way back from FOSDEM, I think, earlier in the year.
Yeah,
and they were really, really good. His audio production quality is really good on his podcast. Yeah. But yeah, I can take or leave the lunatic stuff.
And then conspiracy theories about what?
Everything. It was everything.
They're all
Particular guy is a conspiracy theorist and basically went over the whole ground. It was very interesting because it's not stuff that I really listen to very often. It's completely wrong about aeroplanes and what have you. But other than that, it seemed pretty sensible. Two that people have certainly heard of is the Linux Action Show and Linux Unplugged from Jupiter Broadcasting.
Yeah, I used to listen to the Linux Action Show, but I now just listen to Linux Unplugged. I find it a much more pleasant listen.
Yeah, yeah, I like Linux Unplugged. It's good fun. Mm. Then Linux for the Rest of Us is another one that I listen to regularly. Do you want to listen to that one? That's another good one for people getting started. It's really useful. They have a lot of involvement with Jonathan Nado from the Accessible Computing Foundation as well. So I like it to hear what Jonathan's up to. And then Linux Gamecast, which covers all things to do with gaming on Linux, and in particular Steam. And that's a weekly podcast and video cast. Not safe for work, but very educational if you know nothing about computer games like myself. Then, of course, very quickly, Linux Luddite, something Joe Ressington does or something. I don't know. It's maybe worth
You've heard about that before.
Yeah, that's probably at the moment, other than this one, it's my favourite Linux podcast, I think, Linux Luddites.
Other than isn't the it, one you're on?
Yeah.
You mean?
Right. Yeah. Obviously, this one's better.
Isn't it basically about everything was better in the past?
No, it's everything's better not when it's really. Stable, I think. They don't like stuff that changes or stuff that's new. They like stuff that's stable.
Change for no good reason.
If you've ever met a sysadmin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's level-headed Linux, really, isn't it? And then I very much enjoy Linux Voice from the Linux Voice magazine guys. That's a brilliant podcast. It was great when it was Tux Radio, and it continues to be now.
Indeed, I still listen to that regularly.
Keep going. Faster.
Mintcast for the Linux Mint community, another one that Joe Ressington's on from time to time. That's a very good listen.
How much did he pay you to say that he's on?
Well, he's on so many, isn't he? I mean, his name's bound to crop up. A new one that I've started listening to is Simply Elementary, which is the unofficial podcast for Elementary. And that's useful to get an insight into the Elementary community and what's going on there, because I haven't got the time.
Are they still
to...
called Elementary?
Elementary OS.
Yes. Yeah, Elementary
I thought they
OS.
Had to change their name, or is that somewhere else?
No, that's the one that changed to Soulless. That was it.
Yeah.
It was something
else.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Carry
You're slowing
on.
Him down.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
A recent addition that I really enjoy is System AU from Nick and Dan Down Under. Very much enjoy that. It's one of my favourite podcasts. It's barely Linux related, but it's very entertaining. Also, not
safe basically for work. It's basically the two guys from the Foster's advert with a massive hangover, just talking for 2 hours.
It is
it's
really
brilliant.
It's nice. I like the musical interludes as well. I actually burned through all 17 episodes. In just a couple of days, and that was fun.
Yeah, and another new one on the block is the Pi Podcast, another Joe Ressington production with Isaac Carter and also Albert Hickey, I think his surname is. And that's obviously a podcast about the Raspberry Pi, by the Raspberry Pi community, for the Raspberry Pi community, and that's a really great listen because there's not enough. In fact, there aren't any. Raspberry Pi podcasts out there, and this is a really good one. And then finally, Third World Linux with AG and Jao from the Philippines, and I find that particularly
you mentioned that the other week as well,
That's really
to do
good.
with a certain project.
That will remain nameless. Yeah. And then a couple that have gone AWOL recently. There's the Dick Turpin Roadshow and Ubuntu Update. What happened to that?
That's a short question with a long answer. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk about podcasts we listen to, not ones that you don't listen to.
Okay. And then occasionally I listen to TechSnap and Coda Radio from Jupiter Broadcasting, and occasionally I listen to Linux in the Ham Shack and Everyday Linux, and it really depends what the topics are on
that. That's a big list.
Cool. Yeah. Whew. Yeah.
When do you have time for all that?
I'm just permanently plugged. Well, when I was commuting, I'd got at least 2.5-3 hour commute a day.
Wow.
Wow. So, Mark, what do you listen to?
What do I listen to? Well, like Martin, I have quite a long commute, so I've got a fairly big list, but he's covered some of the ones that I listen to regularly. So System AU, Bad Voltage, Linux Voice and Linux Unplugged are the main Linuxy ones that I listen to. But I also listen to quite a few from Radio 4, BBC Radio 4, for our international listeners who might not know what the hell I'm talking about.
Everyone knows the BBC.
So they podcast a lot. Well, anything now is downloadable via iPlayer for 30 days, but also some of the others have separate RSS feeds for their shows. So I listen to More or Less, which is a show about statistics, which sounds really boring, but basically they take a look at statistics which are mentioned in news stories and by politicians and so on, and they work out, you know, if there's any truth behind them and where the numbers come from. So that's really interesting to look at, and like picking apart cliches and seeing if there's any truth behind them.
That's I didn't really realize there was a show. I've heard it, I caught it on the radio once in a while, but I didn't realize there was a podcast for it. That's
good. Yeah, so they do, yeah, they do like 10 minute episodes on the BBC World Service, but then they have half hour episodes in sort of series of eight or something every few months. I listen to the radio for Friday Night Comedy podcast, which is the higher production topical shows they do. So that's things like Dead Ringers and the News Quiz and the other classics. So I listen to them every week. Occasionally, I also listen to the Comedy of the Week. I always have it download, but it's very hit and miss as to whether it's actually good. So so I sometimes listen to that. The other Radio 4 ones I listen to are science-based, so I listen to The Infinite Monkey Cage, which is a sort of comedy pop science kind of podcast with Brian Cox and Robin Ince. That's really entertaining and usually educational as well. I also listen to The Life Scientific, which is presented by Jim Al-Khalili, where he basically interviews a person from the scientific community about their life and their work. So it's about how they got into their field and how they sort of developed their passion for their work, as well as them, like he does a bit about what their main discoveries were and how they came about. And that's really interesting to listen to. Again, these are sort of, because they're BBC podcasts, they're not just people doing them for free on the internet. They tend to get done in blocks of sort of 10 or so on. So you subscribe to the feed and you get one a week for 10 weeks and then you get nothing for a while. So it's kind of interesting to, it mixes it up a bit. The other one, which I think is probably my favourite of the lot, which is sort of BBC related but not actually on Radio 4, is No Such Thing as a Fish, which is the QI podcast, which is presented by the researchers behind QI, not the people who you see on the telly. But they basically present their favorite facts of the week, which can be, you know, literally anything to do with the stuff they're researching for the next series. They each present a fact and then talk about the fact and other stuff they've researched around
that, I you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and I downloaded an episode just yesterday and listened to it, the latest version. It is relentless. It is like a torrent of facts coming at you.
It is.
And I don't know if I'm mixed. I've only heard one of them and I'm mixed now, whether I think that I like the fact that it's a relentless set of facts or whether it feels like they're trying to get one up on each other constantly. And I'm not sure if I like that.
The thing is they each have a fact, but I think they let each other know what their facts are beforehand, so then they each research the background of that fact, so they come up with other things related to or tangentially related to, and I think they also look stuff up during the recording as well, so it does get really full
also
on.
I'm just envious of their ability to retain
they also have the best episode titles of any podcast.
Oh really?
Because they're all called No Such Thing as Something based on what they were talking about. So they've got just brilliant episode titles.
Excellent. That's a good list. That's a good list.
Yes. So, Laura, you've not told us about your podcast listening habits.
So, yeah, the one I've listened to most recently is Hursley FM, which is by a few people, some friends at work, basically, who they've done a series and it varied a little bit. It got quite middleware focused. But they did the first episode of the second series recently, and I thought it was actually pretty
good. Is it internal, or is that a publicly available thing?
It's publicly available. So I think it got a little bit too focused on some of the technology stuff, the IBM technology, which I don't think it was meant to. And some of the early ones, they were more broadly about gadgets and things and what happens around Hursley.
Right. So it wasn't
as opposed to just
it wasn't
the
IBM Hursley FM. It was just like people who happened to be together at Hursley, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the one I've listened to recently. I haven't actually listened to many or any podcasts otherwise for ages. And I was trying to work out why this was. Partly it's because I don't have a commute really. And when I do listen to anything, I'll just stick the radio on. One thing I did do for a while was listen to Radio 4 when I was in the car. And it's really fun because you, like, obviously in the morning you get a predictable show. But other than that, it's really random as to what you hear. Mm. And so one time I learned all about how people collect snowdrops. And snowdrops are a collectible thing. And the people will go to great lengths to collect them. Different, I was going to say breeds, but whatever you would call a snowdrop. A
species? I don't know.
Species. Yeah, species. And another one I learned about, there was a guy in Canada who discovered that you could, there's a type of fungus that grows and it's really, when it's grown, it's really, really tough. It's a bit like polystyrene packaging. So he now grows it in molds to make packaging.
Wow.
Which I thought was awesome. Wow. It's biodegradable packaging grown.
Is it not edible?
I don't know, actually. It probably is, actually. Awesome. Well, presumably, it's, as long as it's not poisonous.
If left long enough, does it turn into dead food?
It's really...
Oh, God, you'd never be able to open anything, Laura.
It'd be fine. It's crumbs and thing. It's crumbs and sticky marks.
Okay.
So things I've listened to in the past, like that I've been on the Doctor Who podcast, but that they've finished now.
Oh, do they not,
but
I think, do they not do that anymore?
No, they stopped last December. Okay. As I say, I don't have a commute, but I have listened to podcasts and things when I've been in the car on long journeys or painting and decorating, which I don't tend to do much these days. But also, it requires sitting and selecting what you're going to listen to, whereas shoving Radio 4 on means you just listen to whatever's on. And I'm a bit like that with music. So like Spotify, I listen to a lot of music because it just chooses what I'm going to listen to.
Well,
on whatever playlist.
It's interesting you say that. I feel similar. Sometimes I'm in the mood for something sometimes I'm in the mood for something random. And what I went through a phase of is having my podcatcher just download all of them into a directory, and then I just point whatever music app I was using at the time at that directory and hit random, hit shuffle, and then it's like my own personal radio of curated content that, you know, and I don't have to listen to adverts or the bong or news, which is a long way to do it.
I might try that. Yeah, it's that kind of not having to go, oh, now what am I going to listen to? But,
cool.
Yeah.
So if any of our listeners would like to let us know what they listen to, or indeed, as Martin said, what he doesn't listen to, then let us...
Just being comprehensive.
Oh, very. Let us know, show@w2podcast.org. Thanks very much.
Okay, here we go. And now it's time for command line love.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. Right, in episode 26, we discussed HSTR, which is a utility to supercharge your bash history. You can hit Control R and it gives a nice GUI to your history that's searchable and selectable and all sorts of good stuff. And at the time, I discussed the idea of using that with bash to replace fish, because I've been using fish for about 6 months because its command history manipulation and what have you is just brilliant. So I finally got round to doing that this week, switching back to bash and HSTR, and then I found I couldn't do anything because I had nothing in my history and I can't remember any of the commands. So my command line love is how to migrate your fish history to your bash history, and in this case specifically so that it would then populate HSTR and I could carry on my merry way, not having to remember all of my incantations to Lintian and DPKG build. And
so is the fish history held somewhere else than the bash history, and that's why you're having to do this? Right.
Yes, that's right. So the fish has its own history. So in tilde config fish_history, that is the history. And when I went and looked at it, I was a bit surprised that it wasn't just a straight history. It's actually got a sort of a formatting to it. So this command that I've got, which you'll find in the show notes, basically greps for the commands out of the fish history and then strips them accordingly, then sorts them uniquely to get rid of the duplicates, and then appends them to your bash history. Now, with HSTR, that actually has a system by default, puts the most popular commands to the top of your list. So all this does is that it means as you start typing, your old commands are in there. And as soon as you start using them again, they quickly, you know, percolate to the top. So there it is, migrating fish history.
And there's actually a double whammy here, because I've just spotted you use sort minus U, which makes sorts and removes duplicates.
Huh. That's right.
I always use the command unique, UNIQ. So I pipe through unique, and I didn't know sort minus U existed, so I've learned something extra today. Thank you.
There we go.
I think, for unique, you have to sort first.
Yeah, I always do sort and then unique and then something else and something else. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Good one.
We love getting your feedback, so please send it to us. Even the pointlessly mean stuff makes us laugh a little bit. If it's short, tweet us on @UbuntuPodcast. If it's less short, but please no essays, email us on show@ubuntupodcast.org. Or you can leave a comment on the relevant show notes on our website, ubuntupodcast.org. And now it's time for some feedback. Some of that feedback. Roger Light emailed in to show@ubuntupodcast.org about using Screen and Byobu.
He says, anybody using Screen Byobu should look at using Tmux instead, because it is superior in just about every way. Screen is great. I've used it for years. Some while back, some colleagues raved about Tmux as a better screen. I'm not going to list the ways it's better, but just say splitting up windows and being able to move them is a dream. Try Tmux and then Control B percent, Control B double quotes, I think that is, and Control B, any combination of arrow keys. Then go and find a proper Tmux tutorial, because I don't know enough. Now, I think the reason why Roger emailed this in was because I said I'd been using Screen. I normally use Byobu, which actually used to use Screen underneath, but now uses Tmux. So technically, I've been using Tmux for a long time now, but we just discovered,
it turns out
that there was some kind of bug that was causing a horrendous number of wake-ups on my laptop that Colin King from the kernel team found by doing some profiling of my laptop, and discovered that Tmux or Byobu was waking up far too often. So I, in order to see if that was the problem that was causing my laptop to get hot and CPU high, I stopped using Byobu and instead used Screen, because I knew Screen was lean, mean, and, not Tmux and not Byobu. So that's the reason why I used it. But yes, I agree with you, Roger. Tmux is vastly superior in every way to Screen.
Mark Skinner emailed us about using Unison for backups.
I use a combination of open source software to emulate a Dropbox-like feel on my own network. The main bit is a program named Unison, which is excellent, and we'll have a link in the show notes. It's similar to rsync, but it supports better two-way file syncing. It can be set up with any number of profiles, and any profile can be synced. It can run on a cron job, or it can be tied in nicely with iNotify wait to create that live file syncing feel that makes Dropbox so easy to use. It supports OpenSSH, so it can be easily used over the internet. I use Unison to keep my data files the same across desktops, laptops, and servers, but it could easily be used to back up config files too. I've been very surprised in the past to find out just how many long-time Linux users have not heard of Unison, despite how good it is. That's a great tip, because Unison is pretty good.
We talked about file syncing tools years and years and years ago on the show, and I think Tony mentioned that he used Unison quite a bit between laptop and home server, I think. I don't know. I've just never tried it, but I don't know why.
Yeah, and one thing he did mention that I'd edited out there was that it doesn't have a mobile end to it.
Yeah.
So you missed that part of it. So Mark Crutch emailed us about our discussion about Firefox and Zool.
I figured you could use a little more detail about what really is Zool. I'm a developer on a commercial application consisting of about 100,000 lines of Zool and JavaScript. Laura's giggle about Zool reminding her of Ghostbusters is well-founded. The XML namespace for Zool is mozilla.org/keymaster/gatekeeper/there.is.only.zool as a reference to the film. Zool is a lovely language to work with for user interface design. Compared with HTML, it's more structured, consistent, and easier to work with than trying to wrestle a UI out of 1,000 HTML divs. Zool has provided the inspiration for some recent HTML CSS developments, but there's still a long way to go. Plus, Zool has a far richer widget set. In its heyday, Zool could be used to write extensions, local applications, or client-server applications served over HTTP, and all of them could run cross-platform. There are not many other languages are indeed so flexible, yet so approachable for anyone with some basic web development skills.
At Sill, Stuart Language tweeted Mark about reinstalling Ubuntu without losing your settings.
Oh, he says, you know, so for some reason I was reading that in my head and I thought it was coming out of my mouth, but it wasn't. Stuart says, you know the Ubuntu installer preserves your home folder without it being on a separate partition, right? Has done for many years. Making /home a separate partition just to stop it being overwritten is a thing from a decade ago.
I had no idea.
I keep telling people this all the time.
Blown away. But on the other hand, I did have another reason for my root and home partitions being separate. But it's still interesting to know. So yeah, you don't have to actually do partitioning to preserve that between.
I mean, the problem is that while that's true, and that's good if you're reinstalling Ubuntu, it's actually no good if you're reinstalling another distro on top, because that will wipe out your home directory. It's only any good if you're hopping over from one release of Ubuntu to another, or from one derivative to another, or from one flavor to another.
Yes.
As soon as you reach outside of Ubuntu, you lose that facility. So for distro hoppers who switch between distros, it's no good, and they tend to keep separate home on a separate partition.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which is a pain anyway because of other reasons.
And finally, if you missed our tweet,
use Telegram, so do we. We've now got a channel on Telegram where we post news, updates and releases. Join us at telegram.me/Ubuntu podcast. We should really post something on that.
What did you say, Mark? Did you say that's not called a forward slash? It's funny, Sophie, my 12-year-old daughter, said to me, Daddy, what is a forward slash? And I was like, what do you think it is? And she went, is it one of those? And she held her arm up in the air that goes like that. I went, yeah, that's it. And she went, what's the other one? I went, what do you think it is? And she went, backslash? I was like, yeah. But I have no idea which one's which. So thanks, Mark, for clearing that up.
It's slash and backslash, not forward slash and backslash.
Really?
Yes.
Not in my day.
There's no such thing as a forward slash. Wow. There you go. That could be a podcast episode, guys, if you're listening.
Maybe the Linux Luddites would like to talk
about
that.
That's a straight to Dev Null segment. that,
That's all for episode 32. Is it really 32? We'll be back next week when we'll have more news, comment and discussion.
It's not long till Christmas.
Oh, I can't think about Christmas until Log Camp's out there. Yeah.
Next recording day.
It's all about
Log Camp. It's 20th. So that's the two episodes before
Log Camp.
Oh, crikey, yeah. Oh, blimey. See you then.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Make it so, number one.